Hello and welcome to the DeMartini Show. It's presented by human behavior expert Dr. John DeMartini. This is the perfect show if you're interested in personal development, leadership, and achievement. Each episode shares knowledge, principles, and practical tools that you can use to truly master your life. Dr. DeMartini is a global educator. He's an internationally published author, and he's also a polymath with over 5 decades of extensive research across multiple disciplines. And that puts him in the perfect position to be able to help you to empower all areas of your life. In this episode, Dr. DeMartini explains why, if you would love to leave a legacy and make a difference in the world, it is wiser to be yourself. The second you try to fake it, you dilute your uniqueness and lose your ability to make more of a difference. Before we get started, please note that all the links or downloads mentioned in the presentation are available for you to access in the podcast description. And if you have a question you'd love to ask Dr. DeMartini or a topic that you'd love for him to address on this show, you can do so by submitting your question or suggestion in the Apple Podcast review. We would love to hear from you. If this is your first time listening to the show and you'd love to be notified of the next episode, now is the perfect time to follow the show. So get your pen and paper ready or set up your digital note taker and let's get started with Dr. DeMartini's latest presentation. Can faking it until you make it help you achieve in life? Enjoy.
When I was in professional school, I watched individuals try to do that. They would kind of act as if they'd play out the role in advance. Now, I'm not against role playing and preparing and practicing, and I think there's wisdom in that. But to exaggerate or fake and have some sort of an imposter dynamic, my experience is that it backfires. It eventually leads to people discovering that and realizing you had exaggerated. I always say that anytime you exaggerate yourself, you attract humbling circumstances to get you back into authenticity. Just like anytime you minimize yourself, you attract supporting mechanisms to get you back into authenticity. I think that every event in life is trying to get you authentic. And if you just be authentic, you have the least amount of resistance, least amount of feedback you have to deal with. Each individual can use their subtle physiology and psychology to assist them in providing feedback to get them authentic. And if they are not able to do that, they automatically have social, political, and theological, religious, constraints put on them to eventually get back to fair exchange and authenticity. Authenticity means sustainable fair exchange, believe it or not. Let's elaborate on that and talk about what is fake and what's not fake. If you puff yourself up and exaggerate yourself relative to another individual and kind of narcissistically project your values onto them and expect them to live in your values, which most of us have done, you end up getting resistance and critique to bring you back down, pride before the fall, and resistance. And that is not a mistake. That's not some sort of a mean behavior. It's just a feedback to let you know that you're exaggerating yourself and out of equilibrium with the individual you're with. And so by projecting that on and expecting them to live in your values, you have futility. They're not going to live in your values. Anybody in relationships figure this out, hopefully by the time they've had a few relationships. So anytime you exaggerate yourself, which is not you, and exaggerate and puff yourself up and kind of put on a fake facade, a persona, a mask, you attract humbling circumstances, in some cases tragedies if you get way up there and get really invincible and arrogant, attract a tragic event in order to get you back in equilibrium, or at least distractions or challenges in your life to get you back in equilibrium. I really believe that the physiology, psychology, sociology, and even theology is trying to get us back to authenticity. And anytime we do that and narcissistically project on them and try to get them to live in our values, we get futility, we get resistance, we get criticism back, and we eventually learn that doesn't work. It's a feedback system. And then if we minimize ourselves, imagine ourselves minimizing ourselves in relationship or in business. If we do that to our staff, they end up having kind of chaos. If you do that to your customer and you sacrifice for your customer, you end up realizing that, hey, there's no profit margin. And eventually you say, I deserve better than that. And you eventually try to get yourself to live in other people's values and try to please people all the time. And that's not going to work. Sacrificing for others is not where it's at. Serving others is. So nature and your physiology, psychology, sociology, theology around you is in your business is trying to get you authentic. It's trying to get you in equilibrium. And so putting on a facade backfires. Learning when the nature of your existence is basically attempting to be authentic and be inspired by your life, just knowing anytime you're not doing that, you're going to get feedback. Now, you might fool some of the people some of the time temporarily, but eventually it backfires. I've seen people put on a facade, make up a story, and eventually get nailed by it. And that's just not, in the long run, the best brand builder. So anytime you're in now equilibrium where you're seeing that the seer, the seeing, the seen, and the them are all the same, where you're not looking down on people or looking up at people, you're not careless or careful, but you're caring, which keeps the rings on the fingers if you're in a relationship. When you do that, you're not sacrificing them. You're not getting them to sacrifice for you. You're serving them and yourself at the same time because you're communicating what you want in terms of what they want. Now, that's not going to occur. That mastery and that authenticity, which I think we all want. We all want to be loved and appreciated for who we are, but that state is not going to occur unless we know what we really value. Now, I'm going to go off on a tangent here, and you might want to take a note, because every human being, this individual, and that could be a spouse, that could be a child, it could be an employee, an executive, a customer, a friend out there, they all live moment by moment by a set of priorities, a set of values that they run their life by. And these priorities are unique to them, they're fingerprint specific, and they're determining how they perceive, decide, and act. You know, I have in my hierarchy of values, teaching's pretty high up there, it's a top. So you can rely on me to be teaching. Anytime you expect somebody to do something that's not highest on their values, you're going to probably be betrayed. It's not because they're actually really betraying you. It's because you have an unrealistic expectation for them to be somebody they're not. Their ontological identity revolves around what they value, and so does yours. And you want to be loved for that, and they want to be loved for that. And so they're reliable to do that. You can rely on me to be teaching, researching, and writing, but you can't rely on me to do other things. You know, you can't rely on me to be cooking. That's not going to happen. Or driving a car or in almost anything else but teach, research, and write. So anytime you meet another individual, if you don't know what they value, you don't know what you value, you don't know your hierarchy of values and their hierarchy of values, you're probably going to have an unrealistic expectation on them to live in your values if you look down on them, or you're probably going to have an unrealistic expectation to live in their values if you look up at them. Think about the times when you've been highly infatuated with somebody and you sacrificed things that were important to you to be with them temporarily until eventually you said, well, I want my life back. You start resenting them and start going, hey, I want my life back. I want to be able to be me. And other times when you've been so resentful to somebody and look down on them, you go, well, look, my way or the highway, babe. And both of those are ineffective communication mechanisms. And by the way, if you don't communicate in sustainable fair exchange manners, you create gestural communication and eventually violence. And violence is a byproduct of not knowing how to communicate effectively. And the way you communicate effectively is to care enough about another individual to communicate what you value at the highest of your values in terms of what's highest in theirs. When you do, both people feel fulfilled. They both feel loved for who they are. They both want to be engaged with somebody that's doing that. And there's no imposter. There's no faking it till you make it. So to me, that's the most efficient and effective pathway. In Fermat, who's a mathematician's idea, he said light is the most efficient system. It always follows the most efficient path, the shortest route, you might say. And Mapertius said that all actions are and reactions are most efficient. And Mach said the same thing. Many great scientists knew this. So the moment we're authentic, we're most efficient. The moment we live by highest priority, which is highest value, which is our identity, we're most efficient. And because we're most efficient and because we're most ourselves, authentic, we're most objective. We're less likely to look down or up on people. Because when we're not living by what's highest in our values, not living by priority, we get the blood glucose and oxygen into the, not the forebrain, but down in the subcortical amygdala area. And the amygdala is basically wanting to avoid pain and seek pleasure, avoid predator, seek prey. And in order to seek a predator, a prey, and avoid a predator, it has to subjectively bias false positives, false negatives, subjective confirmation bias and disconfirmation bias. It's reality and distorts reality. So when all of a sudden, if it's basically going after something, it has to, you know, accelerate the desire for it with an impulse. And if it's going to avoid something, it has to accelerate the away movement, in which is an instinct. And that means that they, you have to have an exaggeration of your own perception relative to the thing you look up at or down on. If you look up at it, you got to imagine it being really up there and you got to chase it. And that's why you see people that are infatuated with people chasing them and fearing the loss of them and being jealous, and people that are resenting them, avoiding them and not being jealous. And these are responses and they're feedbacks. And almost all the symptoms in our life, physiologically, psychologically, business-wise, every area of our life, is nothing but a feedback system to guide us back to authenticity. So I don't think that faking it till you make it is really the smartest thing. I think the magnificence of who you are is far greater than any fantasies you'll impose on yourself. I know that when I was in professional school many years ago now, 44 something years ago, I decided that I was going to wear a suit every day. Most of you know that I usually wear a suit. You probably laugh at it, but I decided I was going to wear a suit. I wasn't going to just some day, 4 years later, after my formal education in profession, I'm now going to put on a suit and I'm now going to be a doctor kind of thing. I decided that I was going to do that from day one and develop a lifestyle and a way of thinking and doing it, because I noticed that the way I respected myself, the way I dressed, I got treated differently. So I wanted to prepare in advance that way. It wasn't a fake. They were thinking, well, why are you dressed up? And I said, because that's how I want to be perceived and that's how I want my life to be. And that's who I am. I've been doing it now 50 years almost, 48 years or so since, well, 44, 46 years. So I'm a firm believer. You don't need to fake it. You just decide how you really want your life revolving around how your values are, your highest value. If you live by priority and you fill your day with the very highest priority actions that you can do, you're going to increase the probability of being authentic. You're going to increase the probability of being objective. You're going to increase the probability of having sustainable, fair exchange with people. And there's no faking. I don't know if that is even needed, to the faking it, to try to put on a facade. I think that anytime you go into a social setting and you think you're arrogant, you eventually get rejected, alienated, put down, criticized. You get humbled. So why do it? Why would you want to exaggerate something you've done when you're going to eventually get caught by it? And it's not going to be an advantage. I remember walking in one time to a seminar, and one person said, oh, Dr. DeMartini, they were praising me. And I kind of lowered my position and said, you know, talk to my girlfriend. She has a different view. And I kind of comically put myself down below where the people in the audience wanted to put me. And the more I put myself down, the more they wanted to lift me up. It was quite interesting. And then if I went in there and I said, you know, I am great. In fact, you can't even comprehend how great I am. I'm more amazing than you can even comprehend. If I put myself into an arrogant position, they would immediately go, what, arrogant? You know, they'd put me down. So what's going to happen is you're going to automatically get responses from people, praise and criticism, support and challenge, to try to get you authentic. And people sometimes get addicted to praise and think that's the way it's supposed to be. And there's a whole bunch of crap out there taught that, you know, be nice, be kind, be positive, and that's not real. That's only half the equation of life. If you go and get puffed up and supported and built up and start getting above equilibrium and start getting proud, you're going to attract criticism, challenge, humbling circumstances to get you back in authenticity again. So praise without reprimand, or positive without negative, is, you know, doesn't work. You want to make sure that you're stable, and the way you're stable is to embrace both sides. And frankly, you're both sided. I'm not a nice person or a mean person. I'm not kind person or a cruel person. Those are labels and personas. I have moments when I'm kind. I have moments when I'm cruel, but I'm a human being with both sides. In fact, I found that I have every one of the 4,628 traits that's in the Oxford Dictionary. I found them all in myself. I got all the traits you can imagine you can come up with. And there's different settings where I play out those roles. And I have no desire to get rid of any of them or gain some, because they're already there. They're not ever lost. They're not ever gained. I always say a master lives in a world of transformation, never the illusions of gain and loss. And I don't have any desire to get rid of anything or gain anything. That's why I'm not a self-improvement guy. I'm here to help you realize that you already have it. There's nothing missing in you. You have all the traits. They're necessary. You don't need to get rid of any of them. And the false perfectionism taught by moral hypocrisy is about you're trying to be one-sided and then thinking, well, I'm not perfect yet. I no one's perfect. That's because they have a false idea what perfect is. The perfection is not one-sided, not nice without mean and kind without cruel and positive without negative. That's a moral hypocrisy that nobody's going to live by. The real perfection is the embracing of both sides of your own life. And so there's no reason to put on a facade. You don't have to fake it. I don't think that that's a necessary component. What I would advise you to do is master your skill. If you know you want to do something and you want to be a professional speaker like myself, I figured I would take advantage of every opportunity to speak. When I was in professional school, the very first day in professional school, Dr. Mulley, who was involved in teaching philosophy and a few other classes, he got up and said, all right, there's a sheet going around the room and everybody here has to pick a topic that they're going to do a presentation on over the next so many weeks. And pick your topic and we'll give you an agenda date and you'll have to do a presentation, which is at least a 20-minute presentation on the topic. We'll do 3 presentations per hour. And so at that time, I was a little bit anxious. I had already been speaking, but I never really spoke in front of peers like that. Highly intelligent kids, you know, in professional school. And I was a little bit anxious. And I was preparing for that talk. I got the title. It was Referred Pain. It was a perfect title, Referred Pain, because I was referring, you know, pain every single day. I was basically developing pain, anxiousness about putting on this presentation. And I studied, and I mean, I just devoured the information. And I thought I was ready for the presentation when it came to be my day. And they were doing it alphabetically, so that had what they called Rhonda Deloge, Dr. DeMartini, John DeMartini, and then Danny Dodd, who was next in line. And they had Rhonda gets up there and does her presentation. And she said, wish me luck as she walked up, because she sat right in front of me. Danny was right behind me. And Danny ended up, all of a sudden, when my time came up, I was all anxious and thinking, oh my God, here's my time. And they passed me by, went to Danny Dodd. And then I never got to do the presentation. I never did the presentation. I got a good grade on it, but I never did the presentation. But that night I thought, wow, I had all this anxiety for all these weeks about doing this presentation. And I never even got to do the presentation. And literally next morning, I made a decision that I'm going to take advantage of every friggin' opportunity to speak and not let this stop me. And the anxieties do it. So I basically prepared. I studied, I researched, I made sure I knew my material.
Listen up. Imagine knowing with absolute certainty that your life is working for you, that you're on track and that you're making progress towards the goals and dreams that you desire every day. If you've been an avid listener to this podcast, you'll have heard Dr. DeMartini mention his signature program, The Breakthrough Experience. It's a 2-day weekend seminar where he shows you how to take everything that you've been learning on this podcast and put it into practice so that you can gain the shifts that you most desire for your life. If you would love to transform your life, and if you've been a little bit uncertain where to start or how to get there, then join Dr. John DeMartini at the Breakthrough Experience so he can show you how. What you'll learn in these 2 days is truly life transforming. It's time to put the power in your hands to create your magnificent life. To find out more, go to demartini.fm/seminar. You can also access the link in the show notes below. We look forward to seeing you there. And now let's continue with this episode.
I would much rather be masterful and knowledgeable and really know something and don't have to fake it. And you're clear. You don't have an anxiety. You can just be yourself up there. I found that was the key. Now, I was interested at the time in health and personal development. And so I just devoured everything that was in the literature at the time. So I was more than prepared. So I eventually not because they asked me to do the presentation, but I went and did that presentation to a group of students just so I could get to share it. I wanted to learn the material. I found if I teach it, I'd learn it. So my advice is not to fake it, as I said, but to go and do your due diligence and don't take on expertise that's not really yours. You know, when people call me and say, well, I want you to speak about this topic, sometimes I just say, that's not inspiring to me. That's not where my expertise is. That's not really what I want to do. So thank you, but no thank you. Because I found out if I'm going and doing what I really am inspired to do, which really high in my values, I don't have to have anxiety about it. I can just be myself. I'm inspired to go and study and read and learn, inspired to want to share the information. So that's also a feedback from the universe. Stick to your core competence. Find out what's truly highest on the values. That's why on my website, I go and I have people go to the value determination process and do their value determination. Because the number one value that you will discover by doing that exercise, determining your values, is your ontological identity. Your life revolves around that highest value. Mine revolves around teaching. But whatever is highest on value, it may be raising kids. It may be being pole vaulter. I don't know what it's going to be. But whatever is highest on your value, your life's identity. And that's also where you maximize your knowledge. Your brain is set up to maximize information in the area that's highest on your value. And your purpose is an expression of your highest value. So if you're doing something most purposeful, most meaningful, and where you're most inspired and you're most knowledgeable, you don't have to fake anything. You're just knowledgeable about it. And you get to deliver the material, or you get to be confident in your action. And I think that people can sense the authenticity and would rather do business with somebody that's authentic, and they innately sense when there's a facade on. I don't think it's hard to catch the facades. Most people, if you look carefully, you can see the facades in people and respond accordingly. When I was in practice again, I would go and I would have doctors come into my office and we would train the doctors on some procedures. And if they really weren't astute, the patient can sense it. The patient would feel that there's not a confidence, there's not a certainty, there's not a presence, there's not a real inspiration to do it, and not a love for what they're doing. It wasn't clear. And so they're being inauthentic. And they're not really inspired, because whatever really inspires them is where they want to gain their specialized knowledge. That's where they want to go and be of service. So I'd much rather identify what your highest value is. And I'd much rather have you do that and then stick to that and build momentum, incremental momentum in the area that you're a master, and build it up until you're masterful. I know some people don't like Donald Trump, and he's a character for sure. But one thing I did learn from him many years ago, nearly 30 now, was he said, find that one thing, John, that thing that you want to master, and stick to it, build a brand around it, do it repeatedly until it's just automatic, and then you will eventually be known for that. And so I did. I've been teaching the Breakthrough Experience Program 1,147 times. I've done it about 29,000 hours I put into that. I've done it consistently. People know me by it. And I'm quite proficient in it. And that's what I love. So you don't have to be somebody you're not. You want to be yourself. I've said for years that the magnificence of who you are is far greater than any fantasies you'll impose on yourself. So give yourself permission to be yourself. You know, if you're anything other than your real, true, authentic self, you're going to be second at somebody else's. You're going to try to, you know, force yourself to be something. You're going to need willpower. When you're doing something that's truly inspiring and based on your highest value and you love doing it, doesn't feel like it's work. It's highly efficient. When I research and write and study, I don't think it's a lot of work. It's just doing what I do. I love it. And when I'm teaching, if I'm teaching what I'm inspired by, it flows and people are there. And when they see that this is an authentic state, they typically want to refer. They typically want to tell people, and the growth of business occurs, and you magnetize people around you, because they go, well, here's a person that's walking their talk. Here's an exemplification of what's inspiring to them. Einstein said the greatest teacher is exemplification. So I think that that's the key, to exemplify what's true for you and stick to what your core competence is and master that skill and become greatest at it. You want to be the greatest at you instead of being second at somebody else. Why would I want to imitate somebody else and envy somebody else and be a second Elvis? When I was speaking in Las Vegas many years ago, I've been speaking there for 39 years, I think. When I went there, you see these Elvises play all over the place. And I thought, you know, I can't imagine wanting to be a fake Elvis and, you know, somebody else. I got asked by Vogue magazine one time a few years back. They said to Dr. DeMartini, they asked me 17 questions. And the last question was, if there's anybody in the world that you would love to be, who would it be? And I thought, what a weird question. And I said to him, I have no desire to be anybody but me. Why would I want to be somebody else? And they were kind of puzzled. They go, oh, well, most people, you know, think, oh, I wish I could be this person. My experience is if you were to be that person, you'd have their problems. You know, if we all brought our problems to the center of the square in the city or whatever, and everybody would dump their problems into a bag in the center, you, when you went back, you wouldn't want somebody else's problems. You'd want your own problems. So I'd much rather take on and be myself. I have no desire to be somebody else. And so you don't need to fake it till you make it. I don't know if this is making sense, but now some people say, well, you want to act as if, to be as act as if. Okay. But if you know you want to be a great teacher, and like in my case, a great speaker or whatever, I don't need to fake it. I just do it. Practice in between your performance. That's not faking it. That's just doing it. There's a difference. You don't fake speaking. You just practice it. You just do it every single day. I do it most every single day. I'm doing some sort of presentation. And if I do that, I become masterful at it. You know, Gladwell said 10,000 hours. I think that's too little. I think it's more like thousands of hours. I had a gentleman who was in my program, The Breakthrough Experience, where I teach people how to live authentically, and I teach people how to live in their executive function so they're more masters of destiny instead of this amygdala-run, highly volatile individual that's trying to be somebody they're not. I had this young man there who was 23 years old, and I said, you know, you're a concert violinist, one of the world's greatest. He said, yeah, I've been blessed by my love for what I do. And I said, just out of curiosity, how many hours have you put in there to get where you are? You're 23 years old. How many hours did you put in? So he sat there for probably 30 minutes and he calculated all of his performances and all of his practice hours, training, educational hours, everything else. And he came with 43,000 hours. 43,000 hours. He was 23 years old. 43,000 hours. And everybody in the room is just like, whoa, no wonder he's a master. I say that I'd rather go and find out what it is that I spontaneously love to do and just keep doing it and just do it and do it and do it and do it and become masterful at it. So you're not faking anything. You're mastering it and just keep doing it. People that want to put on a facade eventually get caught. But people that want to be on an inspired path usually get known. You want to leave a legacy and you want to make a difference, be yourself. If that's unique, you're unique in your hierarchy of values. The second you try to subordinate to somebody else and try to be somebody you're not, you just diluted your uniqueness and you lost your ability to make more of a difference. You now made yourself more like the herd instead of somebody that actually gets heard. I'd rather be an unborrowed visionary than a borrowed visionary. An unborrowed visionary is somebody that goes within and follows their own path and blazes a trail that's unique to them. So I'm a firm believer that just being authentic is probably the most powerful thing you're going to be able to do in your life. I really believe that everything that goes on in your life is trying to help you get there, get to that state. In my Breakthrough Experience program, I do my best to try to show you and point out that everything that's going on in your life is trying to give you feedback to do that. When you get to see that, you realize it's the most efficient and effective thing to do is be yourself. So I'm not promoting fake it. I'm promoting master it. I'm promoting put the hours in. I'm promoting get over the fantasies of immediate gratification and get clear. You know, with wealth building, you don't get wealthy by immediate gratification. You get wealthy because you have a long-term vision and you're patiently invest and you buy quality companies that serve ever greater numbers of people and you do it with fair exchange and a non-zero sum exchange. And you do that and you build momentum. And compound interest is your favor. It's one of the great wonders of the world. So you do that by consistently staying focused on an outcome that's a service to people. Most fulfilling thing we can do is be of service to people. So don't fake it. Just find out that service. Find out what your highest value by going online to the value determination process. Come to the Breakthrough Experience and let me show you how to be clear about that and lay out a purpose for that. And so you know what your service is. so you can start to prioritize your life so you don't have to fake anything. You know, if you exaggerate yourself, you're going to set too big a goal in too short a time frame to humble you. If you minimize yourself, you're going to set too small a goal in too long a time frame to lift you up. But if you're really your authentic self, you're going to set real goals in real time frames, and you're going to end up manifesting. And then you're going to have more certainty, and you're going to be walking your talk, and you're going to be magnetizing people to you because they can trust you to live according to your highest values. You want to be trusted. You want the oxytocin, vasopressin to be excited in your you know, elevated in your physiology. Then do what's priority. That's the key. So I just want to take a few moments to talk about the importance of being yourself. You don't need to fake it to make it. You can be your magnificent self and just build momentum doing it. And I think that's the key to this. So also to help you on that path, I've been teaching the Breakthrough Experience program for 33 plus years now. We're going on 34 years. And if you want to master your mind, you want to master your life, if you want some proven tools that help you master your life and develop yourself and expand, not just in one area, but I'm interested in helping you wake up your genius, helping you build your business, helping you end up with wealth, helping you in stabilized relationships and loving intimate relationship. I'm interested in helping you socially lead and make the difference you want. I'm interested in helping you have wellness factors and more wellness quotient and also be inspired. The Breakthrough Experience is an experience that, you know, when I was 17 years old, I met a teacher that changed the trajectory of my life. And ever since that night I met him, I had a dream to do the same for other people. So when I put together the Breakthrough Experience 34 years ago almost, man, I was inspired because it's like a tiny acorn. Within the acorn lies the mighty oak. There's a mighty oak inside all of us. So I want to share with you the Breakthrough Experience so you can master your mind, master your life, master your authenticity, so you can walk an authentic life. You don't have to fake it. I don't want you to fake it. I want you to be you. You want to be loved for who you are. How are you ever going to be loved for who you are if you're faking who you are? You can't. You're going to attract people that match the fake instead of attracting the people that are honoring you. And I look forward to seeing you there. I can't wait to help you do something extraordinary with your life. And just know that in the Breakthrough Experience, it doesn't matter what area issue you have in life, whether it's intellectual or business or finance, whatever, I'm there to help you break through whatever you feel is in the way to help you go and see everything on the way. When your perception, decisions, and actions are what you have control of, I'm going to teach you how to have mastery over those. So join me because I can help you there. I know I can make a difference there, and I can help you recognize your authenticity and live it. So that's it for the week. Until next week, I just want to share my webinar. You don't need to fake your life to achieve. You can be yourself. You want to be loved for that. Let's learn that art. Come to the Breakthrough Experience. Let me help you master your life and be authentic. The authentic you, that's the one that liberates.
Well, that was just a small sample of what Dr. DeMartini has to share. And if you'd love to continue learning from Dr. DeMartini, then follow the DeMartini Show now so that you're notified when we add the next episode. If you'd love to find out more about Dr. DeMartini's work, then log on to the website drdemartini.com. You'll find loads of valuable information on the blog and free training that you'll be able to access under the Learn tab, which is on the homepage of the website. If you'd love to speak to a member of the DeMartini team, then use the online chat function on the website. We'd love to get to know you and to understand what you'd love to achieve so that we can best guide you through the appropriate education session to achieve your goals and dreams. Just a reminder, if you're ready to take action and transform your life today, if you're ready to do the work, then join Dr. John DeMartini at his weekend seminar, The Breakthrough Experience. To find out more about the program, go to demartini.fm/seminar. That's it for this episode. We look forward to sharing more inspiration from Dr. DeMartini shortly. Until next time, stay focused on your goals and dreams and stay inspired.